Hello, Craig.
It's on you. It's all on me. Can't you see? It's all on you. It's all on me. You and me. Can't you? It's all on you. It's on me.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Jerry.
Jeff,
hello.
It's been a while. Well, on this platform, it's been a while.
On this one, yes. Not, I don't know. We were drinking beers together not that long ago. Not a few. Yeah. But in terms of recording podcasts, yeah, it's been. I did look it up in the Googles because I wasn't about to count, but it has been 133 days since our last episode. Which incidentally enough is, you know, only slightly less than the number of episodes we've recorded overall. So
yeah,
I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, but I don't know.
It's all right, man. Like nothing has happened in the last 4 months, nothing of note.
No, certainly nothing bad.
So certainly nothing bad. We weren't leaving anyone like, out in the lurch, like hoping for content. Surely none of you asked us like if we were going to record again over the course of the last 4 months.
Definitely have not gotten any questions about that.
Nope. Not because really, you know, just a really chill spring and summer where, you know, nothing happened. But yeah, truthfully, if you follow us on socials, we've talked about this, like, there's been a lot of like shitty stuff that has happened in the last 4 months in the WSU sphere. And Jeff and I, frankly, have just not felt like talking about it. Like it's not very fun to talk about like just some terrible things, like looking, you know, basically finding out, you know, just reaffirming, I guess, affirming your university's place in the world. Maybe faster than you realized. And really that started with the transfer portal in basketball, and not saying like the basketball roster is in shambles at the moment, but man, it was tough just watching a team that seemed to be building towards something, to just kind of lose almost all key contributors through the portal, including some, you know, very beloved players. And then of course the NBA, which that's totally fine, but that was rough. And Jeff and I talked numerous times about, we got to record, we got to talk about TJ leaving, we got to talk about Justin leaving, we got to talk about, you know, just player after player leaving, Mo leaving, whatever. But at some point, it was just like, man, I don't really feel like talking about it. I know that's how you felt, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, really for me, DJ leaving was sort of the moment that this all sort of jumped the shark, right? I mean, I'd written a story for our newsletter, podcastversuseveryone.substack.com. Talking about what a good sign it was that DJ was coming back, right? And that could be the sort of thing that, you know, entices people to stay, makes it so that, hey, you know, this is one of your leaders. They believe in what you're doing. You know, I mean, all this, like, you know, very, I mean, you know, just like the stuff that we say that we love about college sports, right? Like the stuff that we follow, the stuff that we buy into, you know, as much as we like to, you know, poke fun at the NCAA and their student athlete thing and whatever. The reality is, on some level, we all still do actually believe in that. Even if we're not as, you know, cynical about it as the NCAA is, where it's, you know, an exploitative, you know, arrangement. We do believe in it sort of conceptually, that this idea that, hey, you know, this is about, even though there's all this money involved, like at its core, it's why we love it. It's about our college. It's about those college experiences we had. It's about taking classes with those guys back and girls back when we were in school. You know, it's about all of that community. And while DJ Rodman leaving, you know, I'm not mad at him. I don't wish him ill. I hope he has a great season at USC. Like it's really not personal. It just feels very like deflating and just like a kick in the nuts, kick in the shins kind of deal where, you know, a guy who was absolutely, you know, all in, you know, all of a sudden is not all in because of another opportunity. And again, I don't begrudge him the opportunity. Like these are two separate things, right? Like I can both be, you know, happy for him, excited for him that he gets this opportunity. I mean, look, he's a communications kid. The Edward R. Murrow College of Communications is fantastic. Also, the Annenberg School of Journalism is also amazing down at USC, right? Like it is a top-notch comm school. He's down, you know, in the area where he grew up, which is a big deal. He's down there with the Bronny James Circus, right? Like that's not a small thing, right? Bronny's going to have so many people around him that are, you know, connections and those kinds of things. And so, especially if you're looking to get into the broadcast field. So like all of those things make perfectly logical sense to me. And yet my heart hurts, right? Like, I'm like, man, if DJ ain't staying, like literally nothing is sacred, right? I wish he wouldn't have said I'm coming back. Like I think that's regrettable.
And made it such a, It was such a production. We were all sobbing and like, yeah, it was just
right. And I wish that hadn't happened, but you know, so now it's like, it's at that point, it's sort of like, okay, now it's really, really hard not to be super cynical about all this and to also still believe. And I guess this is where, I mean, you and I both have been longtime advocates for player freedom, player movement, player benefits. Like we're just like, yeah, pay the players. Like, And I knew that like all of this was a possibility, particularly if the NCAA was, and the NCAA being the member institutions, right? Like things get foisted on to the NCAA. The NCAA does exactly what their membership wants them to do. So schools like Washington State are part of this, you know, group that have decided we're actually not going to do anything about to try and regulate NIL. And because these schools have abdicated that responsibility, now we've got this thing where, yes, I think the players absolutely deserve what they're getting, what they're able to do, but it's also kind of killing the sport, right? Like it's not what it is without fans. And at this point, I'm just like, man, wake me up in November. I'll be excited. Kyle's still a great coach. Like it's going to be fine. But I'm like, also like, man, this is just so dispiriting. And it's, if I'm a hardcore fan and I'm dispirited, I can only imagine how it is for a casual fan and what the actual damage that does to, you know, to college basketball and college athletics overall from a fan engagement standpoint.
Yeah, it's tough. I know we've heard from people a lot, like it's hard to follow the team when it's just different guys every year, but that's just the reality now. We're just especially in basketball, the rosters is rotating out over and over again. I think, you know, we're not going to recognize a lot of the guys on the team next year, or you know, there's going to be guys who are bit players having much bigger roles, and so it's going to be interesting. Obviously they brought in a lot of new guys, some of which are exciting, but you know, when you come down to it, you know, when with that original roster right after the season ended, Bart Torvik had them projected in the top 20, and now after all the changes and all the defections, all the additions, they're at 72. So that's rough. You go from being a solid tournament team to where you're gonna really have to outperform expectations to be a tournament team. And that's, you know, it's the first time where you know, the projection for a Kyle Smith team at WSU is lower than the year before. And every year we joked like, oh, they lose their best players and they get better. But this year it's when you lose like your top four best players, like that's rough. And that's hard to overcome. The only regular rotation guys you have coming back are Mullins, Yaki, and Winsu. And then you have, you know, a bunch of other guys that are going to have to, simply, you know, adapt. And, you know, there's some good bits like Jones will be interesting. Yasufu is interesting. But, yeah, so I don't want to get too deep into that. But yeah, so overall that was the start of it, really. Finding, you know, WSU doesn't really have the money to, you know, the NIL money to keep a lot of these guys. Like maybe if they had it, maybe Bamba stays, maybe DJ stays, you know. But it's just not, we're not in the place to, especially for basketball, to have NIL, a big NIL fund. But yeah, and then I'll say on the back of that, something that was, you know, bad for the WSU basketball program, a little bit mixed emotions for Jeff and I. It was, you know, truly one of the best assistants that WSU has ever seen in John Andershek. And obviously, you guys really don't pay attention if you don't realize that he's a friend of ours as well.
yeah, we can be super open about that now, right?
Yeah. You could probably figure that out. Like he was at my like engagement party, and you know, Jeff plays FIFA with him a lot, and I always go to, you know, had many, you know, drinks with him at various establishments, but and many chats and stuff. But it really was with John to be to get that opportunity to go join Todd Golden at Florida, like that he 100% deserved an offer like that. He has been so good for WSU, the, you know, bringing in players that you know, at the level they were as freshmen, like that WSU has never seen, especially the bigs. And just overall his blend of analytics and you know, traditional knowledge is excellent, and he's so enthusiastic and never stops working. Like he's going to be great for Florida. He was excellent for WSU, and truthfully, I'm happy for him. But man, when you look at the impact on WSU basketball and also losing our friend moving across the country, it's another bummer. A little bit, but like I said, we are happy for him, and it's a big opportunity.
I know when he flipped over his Twitter image to the Florida stuff, I'm like, oh, come on, you know, just like, I'm so happy for him because he deserves it, and like you said, he's going to be great. You know, it's the kind of job you don't really turn down. You know, he's going to have access to recruits that, frankly, he wouldn't have had access here, right? And so definitely going to feel the loss here, but it was one of those things where, again, it kind of just feels like a gut punch, right? Like, not, you know, you can feel both things at the same time, right? Like, yep. I can feel happy for my friend, and I can also feel super bummed out that, you know, that he won't be, you know, working with the, you know, my favorite team in the world, right? So it was a bummer, but yeah, super excited for him. And then not too long after that came Pac-12 Armageddon. So
yeah, it was right around, like, it was like the same week, really. yeah, that's really been the big reason that has kept, like, Jeff and I have known we should talk about this, but we really have not wanted to, because this is like depressing shit. Like, cheers to anyone who keeps optimism, you know, looking for opportunities. But with the departures, we already knew of USC and UCLA, and then the departure of Colorado to the Big 12, or the return of Colorado to the Big 12, really set off a chain of events to where we are now, where there are only four teams left in the Pac-12, and two of them are trying to join the ACC.
For nothing. they're like, we'll come for nothing. That's how insane all of this is.
That's how insane, you know, Washington, Oregon joining the Big 12 for a half share, which is lower than their current Pac-12 share. So it's, and and then finding out that, you know, the Pac-12 could have gotten the Big 12's TV contract that they have right now after USC and UCLA left. But they turned it down because they asked for too much money. And ESPN said, fuck off. And they went and offered it to the Big 12 and they took it. And now, now there are four of the Pac-12 teams are in the Big 12. So, yeah, that's where we're at. And WSU now assessing those options, it seems, you know, like the Big 12 stuff is such a long shot, and you can hope for it, but that's just such a long shot. But it's really looking like some sort of merger with the Mountain West, maybe with some American teams is the inevitability, which of course means significantly reduced television revenues at a time when WSU is not doing so great financially, and obviously a step down in terms of the hierarchy of college football, which has been, and college sports in general, which has been a massive benefit to WSU for the last 70 years or however, since the 60s, you know, in, I believe it was the early 60s when the pack came back together and WSU was added. That's just been such a benefit to WSU to be a top level sports institution for so long. And then you add on the fact that it comes with a reduction of revenue, that WSU already is operating almost, very, very close to the lowest amount of teams needed to be a Division I program. It's just been bleak stuff. And like, it's just not been something that Jeff and I were super excited to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you all can hear it in Craig's voice the same as I can, like the depression just sort of starts to set in and it gets very, I don't know, man. It's the hardest part about it is that there's really nothing that we can do. There's nothing that can be done. And I do appreciate all the folks, the well-meaning folks online who are like, now's the time to join the Cougar Collective. And I'm like, great. But and I, look, I mean, I've, you know, I'm whatever, 1890 member or whatever. So great. But also that's not going to save us, right? Like this is not, you know, in so many ways, I mean, I'm not a historian, but my understanding of sort of how we got in this spot in the first place was, you know, we were a little fortunate, you know, to be included. And now I think we're a little unfortunate to be excluded, right? Like it's not a matter of wanting it or wanting to, or performance. Like, you know, people say things like, well, look at us. Our football program's, you know, a million times better than what Arizona's program has been, which is true. It's absolutely true. It also doesn't fucking matter. Like it just does not matter for anything. And that's a really, you know, shitty thing to have to like come to terms with. Is that this, you know, this thing that you love, this thing that you have, you know, that's brought you a lot of joy, a lot of heartache, but a lot of joy, you know, over the years, it's changing and it's probably never going to be the same. Now, I will say that we are, I think, really just sort of the first casualty of it. I don't think we're going to be the last, right? Like we've talked about this on the show before, you know, that... college football is heading toward further and further and further consolidation. I think eventually you're going to have a football only conference, akin to, you know, a Super League or a Premier League or whatever, except it'll be a closed league. It won't have promotion and relegation like, you know, like Europe does, because, you know, this is America and we protect the wealthy. So it's good. That's the way it's going to be. And so other schools are going to end up joining us too. And a lot of schools fans that are laughing at us right now are going to end up joining us eventually. I just didn't expect it. And I think this is the part that's hard to swallow is I didn't expect it now, right? Like I was like, this is probably 5, 6, 7 years down the road. I wasn't expecting it now. And now we're dealing with it now. We are looking at one last year in the Pac-12 and that's it. And, you know, there are so many ridiculous forces that are behind all of this, but ultimately it's television and it's television money. And, you know, you can see just how insane it is. We alluded to this earlier, but, you know, where you've got schools like SMU and Cal who are like, we'll take nothing to be a part of the ACC, right? Just to be a part of it on the chance that in the future we will have, you know, revenue is, we'll do it, you know, and it's so bonkers because all of the logical reasons why that's a bad idea don't matter, right? Like, I mean, all the things that they talk about, oh, they were here for the student athlete experience. Great. So you're going to fly them all to fucking the East Coast, right? Like to play in the ACC. It's just, it's, and not for football, foot, you know, whatever, football's fine. But I'm talking like, you know, I don't know, your swimming team, right? You're going to fly your swimming team out to North Carolina, right? To go swimming. I mean, it's all just, or soccer team, right? Like you send your soccer team out for a couple of games and go play at, you know, North Carolina and Syracuse or something, right? Like, you know, good luck. It's also very silly. And, you know, I do think eventually it'll sort of like kind of sort itself out, but what'll be left, like we talked about with basketball, you know, what'll be left is a thing that a lot of fans aren't going to be interested in. I sit down on Saturdays, I watch the Cougs, and I catch some Pac-12 ball if I have time. And if I really have time, maybe I'll watch, you know, some other matchup, right? But I'm not all that interested in, you know, Alabama, Mississippi or something like that. Like I watch the Cougs and I watch the Pac-12 because those are the teams the Cougs are going to play. And now it's like, I don't know, like I'm not sitting here going to go like, I'm swearing off college football, but I'm also like, I just can't see myself having the same level of interest in it. And TV is banking on picking up enough casuals to make up for that. I'm not sold that that's a solid strategy, but I also, you know, I'm just a teacher, right?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how this plays out in the money. What, and I, these are certainly the last, I mean, obviously these are the last like big television contracts. Like there's like, it's because I do not think this is going to be a good return. I just don't see the interest. Like I don't see the interest of Minnesota playing Washington or, you know, or like playing right. Oregon or playing UCLA. Like they're much more interested in playing Wisconsin and playing Nebraska. You know, even but like the local teams, and that was the heart of college football, college sports was regions and regional identities. And we've just like ripped them out. Like they're gone. Yep. They're totally gone. They were leaving for a long time. You could say that the SEC is the closest fucking thing to a regional identity at this point. And yeah, they're the only one that has any sort of regional identity. That's it. Because even the ACC used to be a Southern conference, and now it goes all the way up the coast, and it goes farther in. And now they're trying to go to the Atlantic coast. You know, the beautiful yes. Atlantic coast, Malibu, and you know, all those.
Well, also,
all those,
don't. I was going to say, also don't forget that Notre Dame is in the ACC except for football.
Yeah.
So South Bend,
the Atlantic,
very Atlantic coastal.
The Atlantic coast of Lake Erie. Yeah, I could have that lake wrong. I don't fucking know, man. But yeah, it's yeah. Well, Pittsburgh's in the ACC too, but,
yep.
But yeah, it sucks. Like it's not just a loss of something on the WSU scale. It's just like, it's a loss of a piece of like American culture. Like, mm-hmm. and, you know, I've had some friends that like, you know, say that NIL has played a part, but no, like this all happened long before the NIL ever came about. The NIL is the players realizing all the money that these institutions are getting from the sport, from football, and just trying to get a part of it. And the reality is institutions are still not giving the students any of the money. It's all donor money that that they're getting. So the TV money has nothing to do with NIL because that cannot be given. That cannot be given to the NIL funds. Like that's not allowed. And right. and so it's nuts. Like, you know, Washington is going to be, I think they estimated paying $10 million in travel, like for their sports teams every year.
Yep.
And they're getting $30 million in revenue, which is $7 million less than they got this year in the Pac-12 and what they'll get next year. What they'll get this year. So they're taking a cut just to hope that they're part of the next round of changes, which, you know, there's a strong chance that they are, but who's to say they wouldn't have been a part of it if they were making $30 million in the Pac-12? Like, I don't, there's just so many stupid decisions that were made along the way that got us to this point.
Yep.
And it's so frustrating that it didn't have to be this way. And now we just,
and so now many it's obviously preventable decisions, right?
Yeah. Like, yep.
These were things that we all went, well, that's really stupid. And the presidents are like, oh.
Yeah, and you know, we didn't scoff at the Pac-12 being an independent network when it was made. Like, the idea was sound, like, oh yeah, like the Pac-12 can produce and keep all the money. But then the way the money was spent around the Pac-12 network, and then the way that they strong-armed DirecTV and basically cut off a significant portion of what revenue they could have ever made, and what a significant portion of just the influence that they would have had, because so few people can get Pac-12 network, and because you cut out, like, what was basically at the time, DirecTV was like half the goddamn market.
Yep.
It was on top of that. It was like a Charter, I think, for a long time didn't have it. And so that was one of the large cable providers. A lot of even the Comcast, they had a deal with Comcast, but Pac-12 was only at part of like a bonus package or whatever, you know, an extra package. And when you were out in the East Coast. So it's just, you know, I think there was like 12 million homes or something could potentially see the Pac-12. And so there was so many, you know, missteps along with that. And then obviously we're going back to, you and I have talked about going back to Tom Hansen, Larry Scott's predecessor, who just refused to acknowledge the modernization of college football and the impact of television revenue, and just did it, ignored it, like, for years. And it just, and that was the start. And then Scott came along and he seemed good at first. And you know, when they signed that first television deal, it was the biggest one in the history of college football. But you know, obviously the Pac-12 network is a massive misstep. Now, curious thing, what do you think of this asset that maybe left to WSU and Oregon State? And what kind of benefit can WSU get from the Pac-12 network, the infrastructure, the high end infrastructure that is set up around that, and then just any other maybe any other assets that WSU might have? I'm curious, like, can WSU recoup some of the money from that stuff?
I mean, maybe. I haven't followed the machinations too much of people who've tried to dig into that. I know people have tried to dig into bylaws and whatever. I do know that Kirk Schultz said that essentially expecting any kind of windfall is not, like a windfall is not coming, right? Yeah. So, you know, he has said that. And then I just also tend to think if these assets were really worth anything, that the Pac-12, like really worth anything, the Pac-12 would have monetized them somehow already. You know, like it was something that, you know, I listened to John Canzano and John Wilner. I read their stuff a little bit less now that they whiffed so badly on all this like conference realignment coverage. But one of the things they talked about pretty consistently in the lead up while the, you know, the media rights negotiations were going on was that, hey, maybe the Pac-12 gets Amazon to not only pony up the rights for this, but also purchase the studios, right? Like, you know, Amazon's getting into the NFL, they're getting into sports, you know, maybe they, and to do that stuff, they're having to outsource the production. You know, maybe they want to insource that production, or same thing with Apple, right? Like, you know, maybe they're, instead of outsourcing production, they buy the production stuff and then they can then, you know, produce everything. Plus they've, you know, you've got all the, you know, the high speed fiber optic, whatever's to all the campuses that play into that, like all of those things. Right. And I guess I just sit here and go, I don't know, man, like the simple answer is it's not worth that much. Right. Cause if it was, then maybe somebody would have bought it and we wouldn't be sitting here, you know, doing this. So, and I think that's just kind of where I just think that's kind of everything, you know. It's like, you know, we have a pretty high opinion of ourselves, but the reality is our school has long had the profile of a group of five school, as, you know, painful as that is to recognize. And I understand, you know, on a podcast like this, people probably don't want to hear that. So I'm not going to belabor the point, but it's like, you know, we do have like the smallest, it's not just our donor base is small, or our, let me rephrase that. Our donor amount is small. We actually have a fairly large donor base. It's just, we don't have, you know, we don't have whales donating, you know, tens of millions of dollars, like a lot of others, like even Oregon State has the Reeser family, right? Like we don't even have that. So
that is literally the difference between us and Oregon State, yes, in terms of, yeah, donations.
Literally. So. Yep.
And so, and the difference between us and Oregon is Phil Knight. Like it's,
yep,
pretty much, which is a much bigger difference.
Yeah. Bigger. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, our profile, we have a small athletic budget. We have the minimum number of Division I sports, or maybe just like one over it, I think, something like that. Cause you have to have a minimum number of sports.
We can double count. Double count the indoor and outdoor track teams, even though they have the same coach.
Yes. And also cross country. So it's like, yeah. So like we have a lot of athletes playing on all three, or playing on three different sports. Right. And those technically count for three sports. So like we have a really small athletic department by Power Five standards, the smallest one in the country. And so, and yes, we've done, I think, an admirable job of competing. It's the stuff that we love about ourselves and about our school is that, like, even in spite of all that, right, we have, you know, Rose Bowls and seasons like 2018, and, you know, we're able to do, you know, do these things. We have a, you know, a powerhouse volleyball program and a powerhouse soccer program, and, you know, baseball looked like it was kind of turning a corner a little bit, and maybe it still will. It's like, you know, we're able to point to these things and be like, yeah, look at us. We're really competitive, even in spite of all this. But in every other way, we're small time, and it sucks to say that. And it's why I have long felt that we were going to get relegated like this eventually. Like I said, I just thought it would be farther into the future. And I wouldn't be so, I mean, there's always going to be loss. I mean, obviously losing, you know, all these rivalries that we've had around the Pac-12 and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and competing at that level, like the loss of that stings. But I kind of made my peace a long time ago that at some point we were going to end up on a level with, you know, the upper echelon Mountain West teams, and probably also schools like Utah, Arizona, Cal, Colorado, you know, schools that I sort of consider our peers within the Pac-12, but because of basically geography, and that's it, right? Basically just geography. We've been left out of that. And what I fear about the most is the impact it's going to have on the school as a whole. I can make my peace with playing in the Mountain West. You know, there are Mountain West schools that do really cool things in football and basketball and soccer and volleyball. And like, I mean, I can make my peace with all of that. What I have a hard time with is, man, we got these bills and someone's got to pay for them. This is not like building a house and you lose your job and you're like, well, I guess I got to sell my new house that I built, right? Like these bills are coming due no matter what every year. My sense is that the break-even point on, you know, media revenue for the school is like 20 million. Like that's kind of the like bare minimum, right? To keep the lights on and make your payments. And I have a really hard time seeing, first of all, how we get to that number. And then when we don't get to that number, what's going to happen, right? And this is the thing that's like, when people start talking about the legislature, like, yeah, like they better sit up and fucking recognize what's happening here. Somebody's going to have to foot the bill for this. And if it's not television media, then it's taxpayers, whether that is students, you know, paying an athletics fee, you know, upwards of like $1,000, right? Just to go to school, to subsidize athletics, yep. Or whether that's a legislative bailout from the state, or whether that's somebody from the state forcing UW to subsidize part of this. I mean, whatever it is, something is going to have to be done. And we all know WSU was already not in a great spot, right? They were already essentially in debt to themselves, right? Like they took money out of the general fund to pay for athletic stuff. They had a plan to pay it back, which I always felt like was never getting paid back no matter what. I really, really feel like that's never getting paid back now, right? Like that is money that's never coming back. Now it's really just a matter of staying afloat. And that is the part that kills me about all of this is like, man, that's some real deal shit that affects the institution itself. And the institution itself is a really important part of this. Regardless of, you know, what you think about football, you know, there are people who ought to be paying attention to what's likely to happen to the institution because of what has happened to football, and also understand that it's fucking UW that did this. Like, I think that's the other part. Like, oh, yeah. UW had no choice. Fuck that. UW had a choice, right? And they chose, and then Oregon went with them, and then all of the dominoes fell. Like, Colorado did not leave until Washington and Oregon showed up to that meeting and said, right? Like, or maybe Colorado left before that, but the other three.
Colorado knew what was happening.
Right? Like people knew what, like, everybody was like, yeah, we fully expected to sign. And then UW and Oregon dropped this bombshell of actually we're out. And then it's like everybody is scrambling and it's like musical chairs and we got left without chairs. Like us and Oregon State and Cal and Stanford got left without chairs, right? And, you know, I'm really mad about it. And it would be nice if somebody at the state level would recognize that that is what happened here and how bad this is for the public higher education in the state of Washington.
Yeah, it really, and that's why you saw in California, you know, some legislators tried to prevent UCLA from leaving. Because of the impact, the drastic impact it's going to have on Cal, and it sucks. It's just another reason to hate UW, who also blocked a fucking medical school that was desperately needed at WSU in the state of Washington, mm-hmm. and UW, who rarely has any, as an institution, barely operates as a public institution. You know, the medical stuff notwithstanding, but still, when you do provide a large service to the state with your research and medical, when you're denying it for a fucking half of the other half of the state, because they weren't producing doctors and nurse practitioners for rural communities, but they still blocked it. Like that was one of the most despicable things that their university done, and now they're just, again, like they're. This impacts a major state university in Washington, and which honestly they like to joke about how much easier WSU is to get into. That is an important thing. Like, access to education is important, yes. And it is not fucking cool to be a public university that is incredibly hard to get into. Like, that's not a cool thing, and it's not a fucking thing you should be proud of. Like, so UW is just a fucking piece of shit university. I fucking hate them because they fucked us over in so many ways for so many years. And honestly, I don't want to play them anymore. I don't care. No. I don't care about the fucking $500,000 we might make on the game. Like, I don't want to play them anymore. Like, I don't want to give them an easy fucking non-conference schedule game. Like, no, go find something. So go find someone else to play in the leftovers of the fucking college football world. Like, yeah, I don't want to play you
in the Midwest.
Anymore.
Go find a non-conference opponent in the Midwest. Like, yeah, I have no interest whatsoever in continuing that. You don't either. I'm sure it will continue, just because I'm sure we will have plenty of people who want it to, and also for money purposes. And, you know, in all the non-revenue sports, both WSU and UW are going to be like, yes, let's play each other because it'll save on travel. And there will be all the reasons. It's the same reasons why we play Gonzaga in the non-revenue sports, even when they won't play our basketball teams, because it's like, you know, like it's convenient and we need convenient opponents. So I'm sure it'll happen. I will hate it. And again, it's, you know, like I said, I mean, it won't, it just won't ever feel the same, right? The stakes will never be there again. You know, where we've had Apple Cups that mean something.
That's over. It's Colorado State, which is massively lopsided.
Right.
Most rivalries where one school is a peg above the other, like it's just they're lopsided. You thought it, you know, 75-25 in football right now, that flips to like 90-10.
I'm like, 95-5. This is already lopsided. It's just gonna get insanely worse. So, yeah. Well, I guess.
Sorry for my fuck. I got angry there. Jesus Christ.
I love it.
So my final thing is, I would like to speak to Gary Steele, specifically. CEO of Splunk, if you're listening, I know that you have had some success selling companies and stuff. And, you know, as a fellow Natchez high school graduate, feel free to use that $1 billion you have to bail out Wazoo.
That'd be rad.
So that'd be cool. go for it, man. Gary Steele, CEO of Splunk, feel free. Me as a fellow Natchez High School alum, fellow Wazoo alum, saying, hey,
yeah,
you don't need that all that $1 billion. Why don't you go
needs $1 billion?
University? So yeah. So anyways, that was definitely the angriest I've ever been on the podcast. And I did not expect that. So that's why we haven't recorded.
Last, you know, like 3 months is all just sort of like vomiting out of our mouths right now. So,
well,
maybe we should talk about something happier.
Yeah. Speaking of future conference opponents, WSU football is back and they are playing Colorado State on Saturday at 4 p.m. on CBS Sports Network, because of that wonderful Mountain West thing. So CBS Sports Network, which is slightly more available than the Pac-12 network. Colorado State is an interesting team. They have a solid coach in Norvell. They struggled last year, but they showed some improvement in the second half of the season. He's a good offensive coach. Like, you know, there's some air raid principles in there. I expect their offense to be better. But they have a long way to go. I think it'll be tough because it's in Fort Collins and it's the first game of the season. And they have improved. They've basically turned over their entire roster in the last 2 years. So I think the talent has improved, but the talent is still below what WSU's talent level is. It'll be interesting to see how WSU has Cam Ward has improved, hopefully improved, and how WSU will handle its own like large set of departures. We just see if the defense is still on a upward trajectory. It'd be curious, you know, it's not exactly a cupcake start, I think they'll be better than they were last year, Colorado State, but it is a game that WSU should win. But it might be a little bit hairy. It's the first game of the season. There's a lot of changes. It's interesting. It's enough to be stressed about, that's for sure.
Yeah. Ideally, I'd rather start at home. I think I'd almost always, you know, like to start the season at home with the cupcake. So I definitely would rather, you know, Colorado State and Northern Colorado be flip-flopped these next 2 weeks, or sorry, the third week and the first week. Like it'd be nice if those were flip-flopped, but it's okay. I mean, you know, Colorado State is, as you mentioned, pretty bad. I will say one of my favorite tools that I use is the prediction tracker, which basically aggregates all of the predictions of college football games into sort of a singular, it's not really a metric. It's just like a combination, right? So, the line at the moment, I think, is like about 10.5, 11 points, somewhere around there, in favor of WSU. So WSU is given, 10.5, 11 points. The prediction average is WSU by 2 touchdowns. The prediction median is WSU by 2 touchdowns. So, when all these predictions put together, give WSU about a 80% chance of winning the game, which sounds about right to me, right? I mean, but 1-5 is still 1-5, and it's the first game of the season. But, if you're going to start on the road, this is probably, not a terrible way to do it. And like you mentioned, there are a lot of reasons to be excited. I'm not super excited yet. I have, full disclosure, right? I mean, normally for this episode, we do like a big, huge season preview. We go through game by game. We give odds. We total up our season, whatever. And like, neither one of us feel like doing that. Right. Like,
dude, I usually do along with BA, do a jersey match for every game.
Yeah.
But I'm wearing fucking black this year to every game in Martin. I'm going to full emo outfit, and I'm wearing fucking black, because this is a goddamn season long funeral and it sucks. Like
I have paid less attention to camp this year than really any preseason camp since before I started Coug Center. So that was like 15 years ago, right? Like I start Coug Center, I'm like, all right, I better pay attention to this. And, so I'm like, I really pay attention to a lot. I'd consume everything I could. I have consumed almost nothing. I have no idea what has happened. I took a cursory look at the depth chart when it came out yesterday and was like, okay. Yeah, that's about what I thought. Well, that's kind of interesting. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Hernandez moved to outside receiver. All right, that's cool. And I just was like, that's it, right? I'm sure when the game happens, I'll be the same way I always am, or maybe I won't. I mean, maybe I won't. Like, I'm open to the idea that I'll just kind of be like, eh. I mean, because those things happen. Like, you and I have talked about my feelings for the Mariners a lot. And it's like, I'm having fun right now, but my feelings for them are not the same as they were 10 or 15 years ago, because I'm just kind of like, and I know you've gone through a similar thing this year with the Sounders. Like it's as a fan, you do sometimes fall in and out with teams, and that's actually pretty normal, I think. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's how I'll feel once I see it. Maybe I won't be as jacked up, but I suspect I'll still be screaming at my television on Saturday.
Yeah. I'm unfortunately, long before the game time was announced, we booked, we're going on a whitewater rafting little excursion. So we're at best going to like catch it in the second half. Maybe, the games will move a little bit faster this year because the clock won't stop on every first down until the last 2 minutes. I think it's the last 2 minutes. I think that'll shave some minutes off the game. So I'll be curious to see how much we can catch, if we're not gonna be able to watch it till like 6:30, which sucks. But I'll be there for Wisconsin and Northern Colorado and Oregon State. I know you'll be there for Wisconsin. We're excited.
Yep.
I mean, that truly
that's gonna
is
be a big party. That'll be fun.
The first, it'll be the first Power Five home non-conference game in 25 years, and the last. So that's pretty much, that is confirmed at this point. As far as Colorado State, if you want to, let's do a quick score guess. I'm gonna go like just a dirty kind of not super fun, like 24-17 Cougs.
Okay. So I think it's going to be quite a bit higher than that.
I usually make you go first, but I just went first.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. It looks like the total on it is somewhere around 55. I'm thinking this game ends up like sort of a 35-21, which is kind of almost right on that number.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking. 35-21 Cougs. I think they cover, so yeah, something like that. 35, 38, 21, 24, something like that. Somewhere in there. So if I were betting, I would bet the over. I probably will, but beyond that,
you can.
If the
Cougs don't cover, you could feel free to, or if the Cougs do cover, feel free to send me the idiot gif.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. Since I picked them not to cover but win. I guess, you know, it's fucking just hard to be positive right now.
It is.
It's not that.
Man, it is.
I'm a bit of a nihilistic person. Like, it's not like,
Yep. It's all that sad boy music.
Just feel comfort in the fact that nothing you do matters and nothing anyone has done in human history matters. Because the universe is much older and larger and we are nothing but a blip.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah. That's a 24-17 for me, 35-21 for Jeff. Now let's move on to probably one of the most important segments in this season will be the What Are You Drinking segment.
Yeah.
So Jeff, I got to know, what are you drinking?
Yeah, we're so out of practice with this. We moved the what are we drinking till the end. I am having just a little Rogers Pilsner from Georgetown. So I wanted to go, you know, just a little light here on not exactly a sunny summer day, but, you know.
Yeah, summer might be over. You
know, summer might be, although I think it's supposed to be okay on Saturday, but I don't know. I guess we'll see. So, yeah, you know, just drinking a little standard pilly. Do love my Rogers Pilsner. And, yeah, how about you?
I'm also having a lager. So I went with, I'm not sure I've had either of these breweries. It's a collaboration between Machine House and Lowercase. Machine House, famously is a, real ale, brewery. So, you know, most, the proper way to consume their beer is like on cask and all that stuff. That's what they intend for it. And they do a lot of traditional English styles, like mild, English mild, stuff like that. I think this is produced at Lowercase, which has interestingly transitioned to a production only brewery. They don't have a place to visit anymore. They used to have, a spot down in Georgetown near where the Great Notion is now. But now they are strictly a production brewery. But they've always done a great job with lagers. And then, a traditional English lager. It's solid. It's a good, easy drinking, tasty. I like it. Can crush it. No problem. And apparently it's made with UK malt and hops. Which is great. It's a nice tasty lager that I'd highlight. You know, I don't think I've ever had a Machine House beer for sure. So I'd highlight them. They're interesting. All, you know, cask based. They're mild is the English mild is the their top beer. So check that out if you have been to England and you enjoyed the real ale experience. Machine House is a good proxy of that in the Seattle area. Jeff, I think before we go, let's quickly touch on two of the programs you talked about being powerhouse programs earlier, and that's soccer and volleyball. Soccer's been really winning some matches that they would have draw or lost last year, but they've just shown a better ability to score goals, and they've scored some
Yep.
incredible goals.
Yep.
And they are 4-0 and ranked 17-18 depending on the ranking. and they are looking very good.
Yeah, they all that I don't know, maybe bad juju in front of goal last year appears to be coming around this year, so that feels great. You know, they've got a an away win at Texas A&M. It certainly appears the Aggies are maybe not the not much of a powerhouse this year, but also, you know, going on the road to, you know, down south and winning at an SEC school is, you know, that's certainly a feather in your cap. So,
and satisfying, you know,
they look good.
Yeah, the
and they're yes, which our school's social media team definitely had some fun with after that, throwing some shade at the SEC. But yeah, like, you know, and Todd Schulenberger continues to, you know, recruit at a really high level. The freshmen that they brought in are really, really fucking good. So, yeah, super fun to watch there. And volleyball's off to a solid start. Didn't come up the way they wanted when they, against their toughest team, they went to, a tournament at Louisville and played number four Louisville and were swept in straight sets there. But the other games, you know, went really well, and they seemed to be off to a really good start too. And they were picked, what were they picked in the Pac-12, third or something, or fourth or second?
Second.
Yep. Yeah. Second. It was like something insanely high, which I you know, apparently was not realizing, but I, you know, guess, you know, they've got everybody back from a team that was good. So that's usually how those things go. And they certainly seem to be living up to that at the moment.
And you mentioned the freshman for soccer. The current leading goal scorer on WSU is Naomi Clark, a freshman. Mm-hmm. And if you have not seen her goal from the other night, who were they playing? Weber State. Absolutely. It was actually the number 7 play on top 10 Sports Center. Definitely what we call a worldie from the top of the box off center. Just top corner, beautiful goal. Definitely find that on the Washington State soccer feed or on, you know, on whatever social media. Like, it was, she's talented. She's a goal scorer, and WSU was lacking that at times last year, and hopefully all this talent they brought in is, you know, will pay dividends, because 4-0 is what they should have been last year, and they weren't. You know, they consistently dominated chances in possession last year and then just couldn't finish. But this year they've been scoring the goals, and that hopefully they can get back to the tournament.
Yep. Yep. And they certainly seem to be well on their way to that. And hopefully they, you know, on this, you know, this last tour through the Pac-12, kick the shit out of USC and UCLA and Washington
and yeah,
all these teams on their way out.
Yep. I would love some revenge tours this year. Volleyball and soccer are our best chances for that. So let's, and maybe in women's basketball.
And women's basketball.
Yeah. So thanks to the women. Let's go
always
beat the shit out of some Pac-12 defectors. And hopefully, you know, football, maybe they'll rise from, you know, outperform expectations and do some of that too. But yeah, so that was fun, Jeff. we have officially,
I mean, I always love talking
about,
with you.
we've officially talked about the stuff we didn't want to talk about, and we just packed it all into like a solid half hour.
Yep. Well, let's hope we've got happy stuff to talk about and next week where we can just focus, like really just kind of enjoy the sports and really hopefully, like, I'm hopeful that we can, you know, pivot to a posture of just sort of like enjoying and relishing this last trip through, rather than, I don't know, there's probably a stages of grief thing in play there where you get to acceptance and, you know, maybe we can get to acceptance and just sort of enjoy it. But I don't know.
I would like the football team to win. I think that would do some good.
Yes. Yes. I think losing would be bad. I think that would not help at all. So just throwing that out there. All right.
All right, man.
Anything else? Should we throw the socials their way?
Yeah. I'm at on Blue Sky. If you happen to be on Blue Sky, I'm Craig W. Powers at Blue, however the fucking thing works. Bsky dot whatever.
Social.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Or maybe I'm just Craig Powers. I don't fucking remember, dude. What, like,
whatever. You'll find
it. I got too many socials. I'm on there. Find Jeff's profile, which is Newscoog, probably.
Yeah, it's Newscoog.
No, I'm just craigpowers.bsky.social. Twitter is the same at the Craig Powers. If you like seeing my concert recaps, you can follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Craig W. Powers. That's what I do on those places. Jeff is Pod versus Everyone on Twitter. That's it. That's all of our
socials. Sign up for the newsletter.
And we will
first. We're gonna have a bunch of people who are super surprised. They're gonna get an email that says new podcast, and they're gonna shit their pants. It's gonna be great.
And they're gonna be like, Craig, calm the fuck down, bro.
No, they're not. We are giving voice. We are giving voice to how they are feeling.
Please, no one said that to my boss. Although,
yeah,
he regularly swears at our meetings. So I think,
yeah,
I
don't think he would care.
We're back. Glad to be back. We'll keep this thing going. We'll make time for it now.
Yep.
We got the bad stuff out of the way. Hopefully, we'll just talk about nothing but football and basketball and soccer and volleyball and tennis and wins, just nothing but wins every single week.
Yeah, that's what we do.
All right, Jeff. Well, with that, I gotta say, go Cougs.
Yeah, go fucking Cougs, Craig. Black lives matter.
Black lives fucking matter, bro.
And get vaccinated.
Still. Fuck it.
And join a union. I think we're finishing
it. Vaccinate your goddamn dogs, too.
That too. Yeah.
God, that's a thing now.